Morning, everybody. Whoa, that's woo-hee. Good morning. That'll really get you woken up. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 28. I can't believe we've been taking one of these Proverbs every month. Well, for the last at least 28 months, we're almost worked our way through them. It's easy to forget as we go through these, and I know some of you do this as a devotional. You read through a proverb a day through the whole month, and so you're very familiar with them. But it's easy to forget that proverbs are short, wise, easy to learn sayings that call us to action. God just doesn't give us these things just so we know them. He gives us them so we can learn who He is and then be in His presence. And they teach general principles that in a perfect world would hold absolutely true. But as you know, we don't live in a perfect world. What God created good, man made bad. So we live in a world that's subject to death, disease, and destruction. There are certain words that repeat themselves over and over and over and over again when you read through Proverbs. You see wisdom, understanding, instruction. You see the word knowledge a lot, and those things are very important. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and instruction, these items are daily needed in order to live a life that reflects God and His righteousness. And righteousness is virtue, morality, justice, decency, and honesty. And it comes from Him, because if it came from us, we'd get everything we want. And of course, that would be great in our eyes, but a lot of people would say, well, that's not really fair for me or for a whole lot of other people. So wisdom is simply living life skillfully according to God's way. And why is it His way? Because it's His world. He gave you life and knows what is absolutely best for you. Now, along with these teachings comes an individual call to action. And you can either be part of the solution, many of you hear this, have heard this, or you can be part of the problem. And that's what Proverbs gives us an option. He says, here's the solution, or here's the problem, and sometimes it's here's the problem, and here's the solution. And it's a choice given freely to all from the love of God. Charles Spurgeon said, by a life I did not live, and by a death I did not die, I am saved. Yeah. Something we have that we don't even deserve. And now it's your choice to live for Him or against Him. So today we're going to look at chapter 28 of Proverbs, 29 more Proverbs and experiences that involve choices as well as consequences. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank You just for Your Word and how it reveals the things we need to get rid of and the things we need to work on. We thank You for involving us and speaking to us, because, Lord, it's through that training and that experience that we learn exactly who You are and how important these things are to our life. So may the Holy Spirit just come upon us and just teach us just a few things, Lord, that we can remember and implement in our own lives that'll make us live more skillfully and righteously for You. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. So turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 28. If you're not there, get there. I'm going to share a little story. An old farmer had plowed around a large rock in one of his fields for years. He had broken several plowshares and a cultivator on it. After breaking another plowshare one fall and remembering all the trouble the rock had caused him through the years, he finally determined to do something about it. When he put his crowbar under the rock, he was surprised to discover that it only was about 6 inches thick and he could break it up pretty easily. As he was carting it away, he had to smile, remembering all the trouble that the rock had caused him, and how easy it would have been to get rid of it sooner. There's often a temptation to bypass small obstacles when we're hurrying to get a large problem solved. We simply don't want to stop and take the time to deal with it now. Like the old farmer, we plow around it. Usually we tell ourselves that we'll come back to it later. What often happens is that we never do. If the obstacle is a type that will keep reappearing over and over, we're usually better off to take the time to fix it and be done with it. If we are tempted to go around it time and time again, we had best stop and ask ourselves if the cost in time and money is worth it. As someone once said, The best way out of a problem is through it. And that's what God's Word does. It presents solutions to every single problem you'll ever encounter in your entire life. And it gives you the best way to get through it. Now, why not go to Him and find the solution? And why keep going around the problem? Why keep breaking things such as friendships, marriages, promises, when you don't have to, when God has the solution, when you come to Him? Why? Because you all must come to the realization that much of the problem is not something or someone, it's you. It's you. And the sin nature we all are born with blocks us from admitting, changing, and taking action ourselves, because it's much easier to blame something or someone else than admit a wrong. And it lets you go around, and God wants you to be through with it in your life. God says, I know you're struggling. I know you're dealing with things. If you read my word, if you live in my presence, if you live skillfully, and I'm not talking perfectly, but if you make an attempt, you'll find the things that you need. It's amazing how He puts things together, and the timing is perfect. I know, just reading through the Bible, and then I shared this with Sunday school, and I read on Institute for Creation Research devotional that's sent to me every morning. You know, Abraham was given the promise of a son once, and it didn't happen for 20 years. So what did he do? He tried to make things happen in between, and he really messed it up. The Palestinian nation out of Ishmael came from that, you know, what we see now. And look at where that gets us. You know, you just have to patiently wait. And when you're in God's Word, He'll give you the things that we're going to look at to be either part of the solution or part of the problem. So here today, we're going to once again see in God's Word how it provides the answer, but allows the reader to either be part of it. Out of love, we're given the option. You can either do it or you don't have to do it. You can either rise above or stay below, to break it up or continue to go around and break yourself. Now, verse 1 in Proverbs 28 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. A Christian cannot be indifferent to sin because God is not. Okay? We can't. Sin is very destructive, and it's an extremely horrible thing. You must daily, and here's something important we have to do that'll help you out so you don't flee, that you have a firm foundation and you can be bold as a lion. Re-examine the foundation of your hope. You know, re-examine it with meekness and fear. You know, why do I believe what I believe? What do I believe? If somebody comes to ask me and ask me for the hope that is in me, why are you a Christian? Why do you believe? Think through the answer. You know, and if you don't quite know, look it up. Because people will do it. And we need to do that ourselves to get that firmness. And when you do, you see God and know He is real. You just know He's real. It will not allow you to be moved, or worse, removed. If the foundations are removed, Psalm 11:3 says, what can the righteous do? I love 16:8 in the Psalms, where it says, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. It's that confidence that we won't flee. And then in Psalm 27, verses 1 and 2, I'm going to have to turn there for that one. Couple of great verses that I once remembered, but I can't anymore. David said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Just powerful verses so we can stand and not be removed. Verse 2 says, because of the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but a man of understanding and knowledge, put those two together, and then I have understanding and a plus sign, right, and knowledge, and then I have an equal sign, right will be prolonged. And I looked up the Greek word for the Hebrew word, because we're in Old Testament. The Hebrew word for prolonged is arik, and it's a verb. and it means to continue to grow or to lengthen. So if you, a man of understanding and knowledge, right will be prolonged. It will continue to grow your righteousness. And not only that, it'll just be lengthened. It'll be lengthened. And that's what we want to do as a Christian. It's almost like God takes us and you're like, God, I can't take anymore. And he's like, I'm just lengthening you right now. I'm just kind of stretching you. I'm prolonging your righteousness. Now, verse 3, a poor man who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain which leaves no food. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says, a destitute leader who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain that leaves no food. And it kind of, we're going to see some verses in this chapter that have to do with poor leadership, because these last few chapters deal with leaders. And it kind of reminded me of 1 Kings and a lot of the things we see today. Poor leaders will destroy nations, okay? That was the whole theme of 1 Kings. It was no different then and it's no different now. And just going back to verse 2, it says, because of transgressions of land, many are its princes. When you read 2 Kings and all of a sudden you start getting all these kings because they're all being assassinated or being taken captive, when you see many princes, there's problem in the land. There's problems with leadership. There's problems in the land. Why did King David never kill Saul when he was running after him? He had two chances, because he would have set the example of taking out a king if he wasn't doing what God does. Let God remove poor leaders in his timing. You know, why? Why does God raise up some and take down others? I don't know. But when we get up to heaven, we'll know exactly why. Now, verse 4, problem and solution. Those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. The New Living Translation says to reject the law, listen to this, is to praise the wicked. To obey the law is to fight them. A choice or an action has to be taken in your life. Either you're for something or you're against it. You can't be neutral. Either God says you're for me or against me. You fight against God or you fight with him. Either way, you have to ask yourself, what are you fighting for? And better yet, what are you fighting with? Laws are put into place. I mean, I don't agree with every law that's in place, okay? Abortion's a law of the land. I don't agree with it. You know, God calls it murder, okay? But it's a law of the land. But laws, for the most part, are in place for a reason. And you may not agree with all of them, but they're needed to maintain and solutions and to avoid problems in general as a whole. Now, verse 5, this is a pretty big one. Evil men do not understand justice. They don't understand justice or right, the judicial system. That's what it means there. They don't understand it. But those who seek the Lord understand all. The key areas in a life apart from Christ are always against him or will not satisfy the main pursuit of that life. And that is the ultimate in frustration. That's what causes people to lash out and harm others. And there's absolutely no understanding of your life and the peace that comes with him when living apart from him. You see that in addictions. You see that in people, and I'm just, you know, people pursuing riches, people pursuing alcohol, people pursuing drugs. They're looking for something to satisfy their life apart from Christ. And the frustration comes when they try everything under the sun, as Solomon did, and nothing satisfies. And they realize that apart from Christ, there is absolutely nothing. Nothing. Psalm 92, verses 5 through 7, says, O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. Wow. Are you concerned if somebody's doing well? If it seems like the world's out of control? When the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. We all stand before God for what we do. Verses 6 through 8. Better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons shames his father. One who increases his possessions by usury or interest and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor. Now in verse 6, this word integrity, the Hebrew means completeness, innocence, and full. Better is the poor who walks in their completeness or innocence and fullness than one who perverse in his ways, though he be rich. There's nothing wrong with riches, but they'll never satisfy, okay? That's what he's saying here. And it's better to be poor to walk in integrity than to be rich and get your money through evil and charging more interest and extorting it. Verse 9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, individual choice, even his prayer is an abomination. Does God hear all prayers? The Bible tells us that he doesn't. He turns his ear sometimes. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had been aware of the malice of my heart, the Lord would not have listened. He would not have listened. What closes God's ear is not the depth or magnitude of sin, but your secret intention to do it again. God forgives every sin, but if you truly don't repent from it, if you're like, Lord, please forgive me, and you're thinking, man, I can't wait for tomorrow because I get to do that all again. You know, there's no true repentance there. It's a turning. I always say repentance is doing a 180 away from the problem, not a 360, okay? I just, Lord, forgive me. Ah, man, I'm right back to where I wanted to be. You know, it doesn't work that way. Verse 10. Whoever causes the upright to go astray in an evil way, he himself will fall into his own pit. I love that. He'll fall into his own pit, but the blameless will inherit good. Will inherit good. When you see words like that, underline them. Will. Not maybe, but they will. Matthew 18:6 came into mind where Jesus says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's pretty serious stuff. It's coming from Jesus. You don't want to lead others astray, especially when it comes to God's word. That's serious business. Verse 11. The rich man is wise in his own eyes. What that means is wise in his own eyes. It means that he is unteachable. Okay, that is a bad state to be in. But the poor who has understanding searches him out or sees through him. If you're wise in your own eyes, you're unteachable, and everyone, including the poor, sees right through you. It means searches him out. It just, you know, it's as if the person comes up and says, I know it all, I've done it all, I've seen it all, you can't tell me anything. And everybody looks at him and says, what a fool. What a foolish man. What a foolish person. Money can be made by wise choices, but riches don't make one smart, okay? They don't. Also, and this is important for us, don't be jealous of the rich or those who have much more than you. You know, if somebody gets something, be happy for them, you know? Because it may be all they ever have. You know, that may be all they ever have. Because if you're jealous of them, then you fall into being envious and coveting what they have. And that's on one of the Ten Commandments behind me. You know, that still hold true. You can pick up the underlying theme of Proverbs. Common sense and easy solutions to everyday problems. That's what I love about Proverbs. But where does it go wrong? There's no intention to pursue the righteousness of God. It's almost as if you read the Bible, you know, and then you go out and do what you're not supposed to do. It's a struggle we all have, but God gives us the guidelines not to do it. And everybody needs a fence in their life. You know, Tress and I were talking about this the other day. There was something that you brought to mind that she said that kids or somebody needs, they need a sense of rules. Walking down a big bridge, at least if it's the biggest bridge they know, at least somewhere there's railings on it. And I brought this up, the idea of maximum autonomy by Frank Peretti and The Piercing of Darkness in his book, where he said that no matter what people say, they want to know, even if they have a million acres, that somewhere there's a fence defining where they cannot go, or that they're safe, that there's some guide and guard in their lives, that they feel safe. And these things God reveals through His Word. I mean, just a couple of Proverbs we've already gone a long time ago. Proverbs 12:28, in the way of righteousness is life, in its pathway there is no death, speaking of spiritual life. Guys, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will never die spiritually. You go right to heaven when you die here physically. You're right to heaven. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its way is the end of death. We need God in our lives to point us the right way, because life is all about Jesus. Now, Proverbs 12 through 14, when the righteous rejoice, there is great glory or beauty in them. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. He who covers his sins will not prosper. I think that's Numbers 23:23, your sin will find you out. But whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy or blessed is the man who is always reverent, fearful of wrong. But he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Now, I'm going to read my note. If you have the Life application, this is what I'm going to read, the notes for 28:13, because I think they're very pertinent right here. It says, It is human nature to hide our sins and or overlook our mistakes. But it is hard to learn from a mistake you don't acknowledge making. And what good is a mistake if it doesn't teach you something? To learn from an error, you need to admit it, confess it, analyze it, and make adjustments so that it doesn't happen again. Everybody makes mistakes, but only fools repeat them. Something in each of us strongly resists admitting we are wrong. That is why we admire people who openly and graciously admit their mistakes and sins. I like this part. These people have a strong self-image. They do not always have to be right to feel good about themselves. I love that. We don't always have to be right to feel good about ourselves. You know, if you know you're right, chances are you're not going to convince the other person who thinks you're wrong, for one thing. So, you know, pray for them, just walk away, because you know you're right. God knows you're right. And in the end, it's almost like these little things that we talk about, it just doesn't really matter. Does it really matter? It's more of a distraction. I love verse 14 in the NLT. It says, blessed are those who fear to do wrong, but the stubborn are healed for serious trouble. Now verse 15 and 16, more general principles that deal with problems and solutions. Back to poor leaders destroy nations. Like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. And a ruler who lacks understanding or insight, that's what that word is, insight, is a great oppressor. But he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. Remember, these are general principles. 17 and 18, a man burdened with bloodshed will flee into a pit, let no one help him. Whoever walks blamelessly will be saved, but he who is perverse in his ways will suddenly fall. Now, verse 17, how many times do you help somebody out? And we've talked about this before. Here it says, let no one help somebody who is burdened with bloodshed. You know, we have to remember we are to be helpful as Christians, but also to be prayerful when you've helped somebody or helping, especially if it's a second or third time, because there comes a time when God might say, you need to get out of the way so I can deal with them exclusively, because they just are not getting it, okay? It may be hard to do, and you may say, well, as Christians, we're to help, but yeah, there's times where you have to say, if you're not going to learn it my way or God's way, or you're not going to learn it my way, you can learn it God's way, which is sometimes a very hard way. It's a hard way sometimes. Verses 19 through 22. He who tills his land, this is very self-explanatory, will have plenty of bread. You work, you get paid. But he who hastens or urges to be rich will not go unpunished. To show partiality is not good, because for a piece of bread man will transgress. Verse 22, a greedy man or a man with an evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. I looked at this word in the Hebrew, hastens, and here's the picture. A man with an evil eye, you have an evil intention. This word hasten means to tremble, disturbed, be anxious of the bones. It says if you're so greedy, you're pursuing righteousness, and greed is excessively desiring wealth. It's like you desire it so much, it actually shakes your bones. And if you get your wealth that way, it says that it doesn't consider that poverty will come upon them, because they did. Sometimes they're so blinded by wealth and getting it and trying to protect it. In the end, you know, you can't take your money to heaven. All you can do is leave it to people who don't deserve it, right? I'm just jokingly saying that, but just think about it. Sometimes when the kids spend money, hey, just spending your inheritance anyway, you know. But it's great. Money is okay, but it can cause a lot of issues. Verse 22 in the NLT says, greedy people try to get rich and are unaware that poverty awaits them. Because in seeking to satisfy themselves, the immediate flesh, there's no regard to what is truly needed. That's ministering to the soul. Verses 23 and 24, he who rebukes or convinces or chastens a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with his tongue. Okay? I'd rather have somebody convince and chasten me than flatter me with their tongue. Okay? What that means is, if somebody's giving you wise advice, take the wise advice. If it's good constructive criticism, take it. I love what Psalm 141:5 says. Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it, for still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. You know, flattery's wicked. You know, it pumps people up, and it sets them up for a fall. Verse 24 says, whoever robs his father or his mother and says, it is no transgression, the same as a companion to a destroyer. Those are some heavy words. Verse 25, speaking of the heart and arrogant or greedy, it says, he who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. Trust means security. If your security is in the Lord, it says you will prosper. We know from Proverbs, you are to guard your heart. Psalms tells us we're to, Psalm 119, to hide God's word in our heart so we may not stumble. But we're not to exalt our hearts, because that's prideful. And pride goes before the fall. Guys, pride is the fall, okay? And it's a heavy one. And it's usually not individual. That's the problem with pride. Pride is one of those sins, like all sins. We often think that every sin is just an individual. Like if something goes wrong, like I can do this. I'm the only one who'd be affected. You know, I could steal this candy bar from the Fresh Start or whatever. You know, if I get caught, I just turn it back in and everything's good. And you get caught, and you get put on, who knows what they'll do. They're pretty heavy down there. They don't go to, you know, put you on probation. Name goes in the paper. Kids at school know. Family knows. Sin has a bomb radius effect to it, even the little ones. Lying, do you want to be known as a liar or a man of integrity or a man of your word or a person of your word? You know, you don't want those things to happen. Trust in the Lord, there's prosperity. Trust in your heart is foolishness. People say, I want to follow my heart. Wouldn't recommend it. I'd follow God, what He lays on your heart. And if you have peace in your heart because of what you've gone to God with, that's a good thing. I love it when people say, I'm going to go and find myself. But the problem with finding yourself is you usually find yourself, and that's the problem. You know, all you're doing is running away from what you don't want to deal with if you created. I mean, that's the honest answer to that. Verse 26, we're almost finished. My right leg's getting really strong. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, talking about the heart again, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. The controlling principle of wisdom goes all the way back to Proverbs 1:7, the key verse to Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom walks, and as it goes, discovers what will deliver is good and what will not. That's why we live out as Christians on earth. We're to work out our sanctification. We're to see how this works and understand it and use it in our own lives. Now, Job 28:28 says, "And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. The totally self-reliant person is doomed to fail. The sensible, intelligent person depends on God. Each day we're becoming a creature of..." C.S. Lewis, I ran across this today. "Each day we are becoming a creature of splendid glory or one of unthinkable horror." Think of that. It's our choice. Splendid glory or horror to behold. Verse 27-28, wrapping this up. "He who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses." Sometimes people say, "I don't have any money to give to the church or give to the poor." If you have time, you have something to give. If you have a talent, you have something to give. Pray about it and God will use you where he sees fit. "When the wicked arise, men hide themselves," almost going back to what we saw in verse 1. "But when they perish, the righteous increase." Proverbs, absolute truths I know from God to be understood and lived, processed this side of eternity, given by God to men in order that they start to see, understand, and know who he is, and to grasp the wisdom, living life skillfully according to the standards through him. And it's a problem and solution, and we're all part of it, but where do you fit in that equation? You cannot make progress with God, think of this, as long as you're holding on to pieces of your old life. You know, all things pass away. Old things pass away, all things become new. God wants all of us, just not pieces of us. According to the Bureau of Standards in Washington, a dense fog covering 7 city blocks to the depth of 100 feet is composed of less than 1 glass of water. That amount of water is divided into about 60 billion tiny droplets. Yet when those minute particles settle over a city or the countryside, they can almost blot out everything from your sight. There's some days that the clouds roll in the fall, you can't even see Sundance Mountain. Many Christians today live their lives in a fog. They allow a cupful of troubles to cloud their vision and dampen their spirit. Anxiety, turmoil, and defeat strangle their thoughts. Their lives are being choked by the cares of this world, Luke 8:14. "But God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline," 2 Timothy 1:7. The story finishes, "Let's not let the fog get us down. Let's live in the sunshine." God's answers come from his perspective. You must be willing to ask anything of him, although the answer might not be what you expect. Okay? Keep that in mind. Sometimes when you pray for something and God answers the prayer, you live in the answered prayer. Okay? And it might not be exactly what you think that looks like or should. But don't let that or your problems cloud your vision of who he is. And during this asking and searching, you'll discover the problem and the solution, and you also have the choice of what part will you play in it. And it's the same in life. Every day we're confronted with many things that you get to decide, okay? We make so many decisions that affect our lives and others that God gives us that we get to decide. Guys, most of us get to decide what we're going to have for breakfast, okay? A lot of places you can't even get breakfast. I mean, you go to Africa and some foreign countries, you get what they have, you know? And it's in life, God sometimes gives us so many things we get to choose from. And all we see is exactly what we want because it's all about us and it's all about it's nobody, you know, everybody's wrong. It's all about me. And you start making those choices and all of a sudden you're the only one standing and you're all by yourself because nobody wants to be around you. Now, A.W. Tozer said, "You can blame circumstances, but backsliding always begins in the heart." That's where it begins. And ultimately, there's only one way, and that's God's. Find out it is the best, and it is precisely what you need, because it's what He gives us every day. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for Your Word and what it does in our lives. May we, as we walk with You, see from understanding, knowledge, and wisdom, Lord, what is the best choice, and help us make those. And when we fail, when we fall, let us not get upset. Let us learn and move on, Lord. We thank You just for giving us instruction. Thank You for loving us when we fail, for picking us up, and just helping us move on along. Lord, we just thank You for Your presence. May Your Spirit guide us not only today, but every day. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand up. Worship Him one more song. Here, I got it on for you.
All right, thanks.
You're welcome. Yeah. You have your new Bible with you.
I do. I was reading it.